Garden. Inside the world's noise, beneath its tangled silence, a solitude unfolds. Be still. Unreachable by the fearful future, hidden in the city of this moment, come to the garden. Here in this place of no one else, kneel on the soft ground with the one who is with you. Though hunted, was here before you and will abide and hold your place forever. Here, though troubles await, there is one who listens. There is peace. Listen. The beloved breathing in you.
Will you pray with me? God, we open our hearts to your mysterious presence. Wherever we are in your presence. You are the breath that breathes in us. You are our heartbeat and our life. We give you thanks for your love that unites us through your Spirit as one body, scattered though we are. We give you thanks on this beautiful morning that though our fears walk with us and uncertainty surrounds us, when we open our eyes and look, we see beauty. We see life. We hear birds, we see sunlight and feel its warmth, and we know that your creating love is at work. Open our eyes and help us to see and to trust. Bless this time. Bless all who are watching, that we may share together in your love. Amen.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth. Yeah.
is this better? You know, sometimes the technology works and sometimes it doesn't. All right, then. We'll use that one. It's time to have some serious fun with my kids. So to do this, I need to prepare because I want to talk about something really serious. Sometimes when we talk about things here, we talk about things that are sort of lighthearted, but this time I'm going to talk about something really serious. I lost my nose. That's serious. These cheap little toys. There. Now we can talk about something serious. I want to talk about feeling sad. Now, you might think it's goofy that I want to talk about feeling sad and I'm wearing this stupid, funny little face. You know, when I was younger, back before everything turned white, I would put this on and nobody knew I was wearing it. It was kind of sad. But now you can tell. But here's the question. I want to talk about feeling sad, and here I am wearing this goofy face. You know what it makes me think of, though? It makes me think of all the times that sometimes somebody is feeling sad, and people say, "Smile!" As if it's a good thing to put on a funny face when inside you're not feeling funny. Now, I think, is a time when people have all sorts of different feelings. And sometimes they're feelings that aren't very comfortable. We're okay when we feel happy. It's kind of fun to feel glad or thankful. It's not quite as much fun when you're not sure how you feel or if maybe you're feeling sad or scared or mad. And sometimes when people say, "Smile," it's just not fair. In fact, it's not right. I'm going to give you permission, if you're feeling sad, to put on a sad face. You don't have to look goofy. You don't have to pretend. It's just a secret little thing that you're doing. It doesn't really help when you put on a fake face. It's okay if you actually just put on your real face. You can just be plain. And if you're sad, you can be sad. If you're mad, you can be mad. If you're scared, go ahead and be scared. You don't have to pretend. Then, when you're happy, you can really be happy. That's the cool thing. I'm glad that God gave us all those different feelings. Let's say a prayer. Will you pray together with me? God, thank you for giving us our feelings. Help us to feel all of them. Let's pray that together. God, thank you for giving us our feelings. Help me to feel all of them. Amen.
Morning. I'm here to tell you a little bit about my journey at St. Matthew's. I came to St. Matthew's over 40 years ago looking for a church home. I had visited several other area churches, first not knowing anything about the Methodist Church. When I first came to St. Matthew's, I was warmly greeted. I'm sure I heard about a lot of the outreach programs because that sticks in my mind. And the afternoon after I came here, I was actually received a phone call saying how nice it was to have me at church. I really felt like this might be the place I want to be. I continued coming to St. Matthew's, and in 1978, I joined. So I was very warmly received at St. Matthew's. During this time of 40 years that I've been a member, I certainly feel transformed. I've been empowered to do things that I never thought I'd be able to do. I have a Sunday school superintendent. I've been on different committees that connected me with opportunities that I never thought of. I've been on the trustees for many, many years and have really grown in that position and am so glad that I could do it. So it's really made a difference for me. And I hope to continue working in those capacities. Because of that, I feel sent to reach out to people that I meet, to tell them what a wonderful place St. Matthew's is, to people that come here to use rentals, to let them know that we are a warm, caring congregation, and that there is a place here for anybody that wants to come and learn more, be transformed by God's love. I thank the members of this church community for all they have meant to me and for the home they have provided. Thank you.
Now a reading from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Holy One who created you, O beloved, you who formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Holy One, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, and you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Hear the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A reading of the 23rd Psalm.
Interspersed with some meditative thoughts.
The Holy One is my shepherd, I shall not want.
God, you give me everything I need. Help me trust.
You make me lie down in green pastures.
You lead me to a place where I am fed. Give me the gift of gratitude.
You lead me beside still waters.
There is so much that's turbulent and anxious. Give me the gift of your peace.
You restore my soul.
When I'm out of breath, you give me my breath.
You lead me in right paths for your name's sake.
Help me, God, to follow not the way I want, but the way you make for me.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
I am afraid. Teach me to trust your presence, to stay with you.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
God, even in the face of what I fear, you nourish me, and you invite my enemies to your table so that I may know peace, even in the face of what I fear.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
God, you have made it clear that your will is not merely that I survive, but that I flourish. You don't merely tolerate me. You delight in me. Help me share in your joy.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Help me to follow wherever goodness and mercy lead.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Gracious God, I give thanks for your presence, even when I am not aware. I am in your house. Thank you. Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel. Jesus took the disciples with him out into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Stay here. Sit here while I go and pray." And then he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him. And he began to be very agitated and grieved. And he said to them, "I am grieved even to death. Remain here. Stay awake with me." And then going on a little farther, he threw himself down on the ground and prayed, "Abba, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." He went back and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, "Could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not enter into the time of trial." The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the second time he went off and prayed by himself, saying, "Abba, if it is not possible for this to pass unless I drink it, your will be done." He came back and again found the disciples asleep. So leaving them, he went off and prayed a third time in the same way. And then he came back and said, "Are you still sleeping, taking your rest? Look, now is the hour for the human one to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The gospel of the beloved, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. This week, I saw a meme on Facebook. It was one of those cartoony sort of drawings that you would see in Marvel Comics of this guy painting blood on the lintels and doorposts of his house. It was an obvious depiction of the Passover when the Hebrew slaves were instructed to slaughter a sheep and put the blood on their doors so the angel of death would pass over them in this plague that would eventually set them free from slavery. So here's this reference to Passover, and in true meme fashion, up above and below are these big block letters that say, "The blood of Jesus will save us from every virus." No, it won't. That's not how it works. That's not how viruses work. That's not how the blood of Jesus works. Good, faithful Christians have been dying from germs from the beginning. The blood of Jesus saves us from condemnation. It saves us from the entrapment of our own egos. But it doesn't save us from germs. But boy, is that ever a temptation. We enter into these times of uncertainty and times when there's danger, and we want somehow to be among the people who are protected. We want to be safe. We want there to be some Passover. We want some ticket out. You can see Jesus wrestling with that in the Garden of Gethsemane in this last night before this awful day when he will be arrested and tortured and executed. And Jesus can see this all unfolding. It's not that he has some magic ability to see the future. He can just tell what's happening. And he's scared. And he goes out into the garden and he prays, "God, is there some detour? Is there some thing that I can get out of this?" And he has to come to this hard realization that this is it. He can do that because he trusts that the good news is not that God will help us escape from every little bit of suffering or trouble, but that God will walk through us, through every little bit of suffering and trouble. Isaiah tells us of a God who doesn't say, "When you come into raging waters, I'll find a detour, I'll build a bridge." God says, "When you pass through the raging waters, I'll be with you, because I love you." Even that deeply comforting 23rd Psalm, with all those still waters and green pastures, God leads us in the paths of righteousness, and that path leads straight through the valley of the shadow of death. And we fear not because there's no shadows, not because there's no death, but we're not afraid because God is with us. That's the good news. And I think that's what Jesus was wrestling with in the garden. It's interesting that I didn't really notice this until this year, contemplating that scripture in these conditions. But Jesus wants these disciples to be with him. "Please stay with me." At the same time that Jesus practices what now we would recognize as social distancing. He separates from the crowd, goes out with his 12 buddies into a garden where they're all alone. And then he leaves them and goes away with just three. And then he leaves them and goes away again all by himself. Because it seems clear that when Jesus wants those disciples to be with him, he doesn't just want them to sit next to him. He wants to be there for him. He wants a kind of presence that isn't just physical proximity. It's the presence of heart. So that even when he's separated from them, he wants them to still be there with him. That's the way Jesus has been present for all those people, all of his ministry, the way he was so present with people, could just listen to them, set aside his agendas, his desires, and really be present for people and hear their story and reach out to them. He was so intimately close. There was a lot of touching. He touched lepers. He allowed the woman with the flow of blood to touch the fringe of his prayer shawl. He touched the ears of the deaf man, touched the eyes of the blind man. And now what he's asking for is that kind of presence, that kind of touch even when we can't touch. Because he showed us that. We can trust that. You know that. You've experienced that. People who might not be in the same room with you, but you know they care for you. You know their love transcends space and time, and they are there with you in that way. And you can do that for others. I think of how much my wife Beth is with me, even when we're not together. I think of my boys and all of their families and loved ones and how wonderful they are and how much I love them as if they're right here. It drives me nuts that they're in Washington, D.C. and New Jersey and Minneapolis. Good morning, boys. But I trust that somehow we're still together in this because God has shown us, Jesus has shown us, a love that's present for us no matter where we are. I have a friend who went to Africa, who came back and told the church, I want you to know I could feel your prayers 4,000 miles away. That's the kind of presence that God gives us, that Jesus invites us to have for one another. In these times of self-isolating and social distancing, this time of fear and uncertainty, it's going to be tempting to sort of draw in a little bit, to kind of protect ourselves, and to spend a lot of energy hoping that we're okay. And what Jesus invites us to do is to care for one another, sustained by a care for us that's unfailing. I am held up by this vision that even though I'm kind of like the disciples, I've fallen asleep on the job a lot. I've fallen asleep on the job of discipleship. I've fallen asleep, sometimes literally, I fall asleep in my prayers. Still, even though we are letting him down out there by himself in the garden and on trial and on the cross, Jesus never stops praying for us. Never loses that connection. We still have a place in Jesus' heart, no matter where we are. If we can receive that love, behold that divine presence that's there for us, even through the raging waters, even through the valley of the shadow of death, then we can extend that presence to other people and show them a kind of love that even if we can't touch, is still deeply touching. So, a song. A song called Touch.
I am hurting, I am broken, neighbor shrinking fear. I am longing, I am waiting for someone to come near. Then one comes with gentle mercy, one who understands. Loving Jesus touched my pain with healing in his hands. Touch me, Jesus. Come and touch me deep in my soul. Lay your gentle hands upon me. Make me whole. There are lonely neighbors asking, will they wait in vain? Can we touch them? Will we touch them with mercy, touch their pain? Touch me, Jesus, come and touch me deep in my soul. Lay your gentle hands upon me, make me whole. Heal my blindness, cure my fear, and set my loving free. Jesus, may my be your hands and love touch the ones you love through me. Jesus, touch me, come and touch me deep in my soul. Lay your gentle hands upon me and make me whole. Jesus, touch me, come and touch me deep in my soul. Lay your gentle hands upon me and make me whole.
Gracious God, we thank you for the presence you give us that never leaves. Give us the grace to offer such loving presence to others, even when we are far apart. God of grace, we thank you for your love, and we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen. In the blessings of God's presence, let us pray. If you have prayer requests, you can type them in the chat window and we'll share them.
This just in, the prayer requests have been texted to you, Steve. You won't be able to find them in the thing. I've been asked to pass that along to you. I've also been asked to pass along to you that there has been a request for you to do the children's story again before we close.
That can be done.
Yes. So I guess we're doing requests now. But let us pray. Trusting that God is with us, let us pray. We pray for one another. We ask your blessing on everyone watching now, and on everyone in the St. Matthew's community. We especially remember those on our prayer calendar this week: Sue and Jerry Rardin, Marcia Rasmussen, Melissa, Rick, Kevin, and Gregory Rollins, Ed and Marilyn Roman, and Congregation Beth Elohim. May your will be done in their lives. This is my prayer. We pray for your mercy and grace as we face this pandemic, for calm for our frightened hearts, for wisdom for our troubled minds, for health for our vulnerable flesh. We pray for peace among us, for cooperation and community, that your grace may overcome all fear and greed. May your mercy guide us. This is my prayer. We give thanks for the miracle of our bodies, that you have given them wisdom to fight infection and sustain life, that you have imbued them with powers of healing, that even now our bodies are fulfilling your desire for life and wholeness. We give you thanks and we trust your blessing. May creation befriend us. This is my prayer. We pray for all those most affected by this pandemic, the poor, the homeless, those who are confined in places of risk. We pray for workers who must enter danger to do their jobs. May your love sustain us. This is my prayer. We pray for peace in the world. We pray that we may awaken to the mystery that we are all one and in this together. May your spirit unite us. This is my prayer.
We have prayer requests. Prayer for Kevin Logue's brother, Brian. For the seniors in Acton. For Jen's students, that they feel loved and have structure and stay safe. Prayers for all who are lonely. All the prayers that you hold in your hearts, spoken and unspoken, we lay in the hands of God, trusting in God's grace.
As a trusting child turns to her mother, we turn to you and pray as Jesus taught us to pray, asking you always to teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Usually right about now is the time in the service when we pass the peace to one another. It's hard to do when there might only be one of you in the room. So take a minute to envision all the people in your community and imagine the peace of Christ flowing out through your heart, flowing out into the world, that peace, that confidence that God has got you in strong, gentle hands. Imagine that peace given to the world. And since I'm given to understand that nobody could hear the children's time, we don't do a reprise very often, but sometimes we do, especially when technology is still a step ahead of us. So, I want to talk about something very serious. Very serious. I want to talk about feeling sad. You might think it odd that here I am wearing this funny outfit and talking about something that's not funny. It is odd. It's very odd. And yet, we ask people to do that all the time. When you're feeling sad, how many times has somebody said to you, "Smile!" As if it's not odd to feel sad inside and put on a funny face on the outside. That's funny. The cool thing is, Jesus had all sorts of different kinds of feelings, and he felt them all. Sometimes he was happy, sometimes he was sad. One of people's favorite Bible verses, especially if they had to memorize Bible verses when they were children, is the entire verse of Jesus wept. Because he was sad. He went ahead and cried. There were times when he laughed. There were times when he looked at people who were arguing with him with great love. There were times when he was angry and said, "Oh, you disciples, don't you get it?" He never put on a fake face. He just felt the way he felt. And he was honest about it. He didn't use his feelings to trick people. Sometimes people do that. Sometimes people say, "Don't mess with me or I'll get mad," as if your feelings are anybody else's business. Or people say, oh, don't say that. You make me sad. You know what? Nobody can make you feel anything. That's another funny face. Your feelings are all yours. They come from inside you. And it's okay to have all those feelings. Mad, sad, glad, scared, confused. When things change like they are now, all of a sudden, you're not in school, things are weird, your parents turns out to be, maybe aren't very good homeschool teachers. Now you like your teacher more before than you did before, huh? Yeah, things are weird. You're going to have a bunch of feelings. People talk about getting sick and you're going to worry. It's okay to worry. It's okay to be sad. Actually, after a while, the funny face just isn't funny anymore. Sometimes the best thing to do is just be yourself. It's okay. In fact, it's beautiful. It's much better. I'm so glad that God gave us all those feelings. They help us be whole human beings. So I think we should say a prayer. Let's pray together. God, thank you for all our feelings. Help us feel them all. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for all our feelings. Help us to feel them all. Amen. We have more requests. Oh, you want more music? We can do that. Let's do the choir, and then we'll hear Cal.
Take away my sin.
Let me go.
eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me.
Well, it wouldn't be a United Methodist worship service if it weren't for an offering. You'll have to give your own offering. You'll have to think about how you can give, how you can practice generosity and service, and announcements. Can't be a worship service without announcements. Here's some things you need to know. You should have gotten an email with instructions about how to give, keep your pledges going. You can mail them in or have your bank do bill pay. At some point, we might be getting close to having online giving. And today is UMCOR Sunday, United Methodist Committee on Relief, that supports all these incredible things all over the world. And we enable this miraculous thing to happen by supporting UMCOR. When there's a disaster, you can give money for the sake of the recovery for that disaster. And all of it, 100%, goes right there with no overhead. You can either add money to your regular pledge check, or you can give online, or you can send it in separately. But remember UMCOR. There's some other particular ways that you can be of service these days. The food bank needs you more than ever. First Sunday is still Food Sunday. You can drop food off here at the church, and it will still get picked up and delivered. And speaking of dropping off, Marcia Rasmussen has become suddenly, without having asked for it, the host of a refugee family who needs clothes because they had to move without their belongings. So if you can bring those clothes, again, that's in that email, bring them to the church and we'll be able to get them to them. Two other things. One is the community supper that happens in Acton every Wednesday night. They can use substitute servers. If you're willing to get yourself on the list of substitute servers, email me and I'll make sure you're on there. The other thing is Emerson Hospital is now asking for people to volunteer to sew masks. So if you're a sewer, we will be emailing out instructions for how to get in on that so that you can be a part of that. One other announcement I have is incredible thanks to Wayne and Susan Lasante, who are scurrying around trying to make this work, finding all sorts of things that don't, and solving problems as we fly. It's pretty cool. Speaking of whom, Wayne.
I just wanted to remind people to please check the website frequently. We will be continuously updating things like where there will be online Sunday school type classes, classes during the week, sermon talkbacks, all those types of things. So please just check the website frequently. We will attempt to keep you as informed as we can be.
The sermon talkback will be more like 11:45 as we unplug and switch over to a different platform. Yeah, there's a Zoom meeting that you can tap into and join us, and you have a chance to reflect on what's come up for you in the last hour. The link is on the website. Under live worship, there's that thing. Boop, you can go right to it. Dearly beloved, siblings in Christ, God is present. Even in the raging waters, in the valley of the shadow of death, even when the angel of death does not pass over, God is more present than that. Receive that presence and bear that loving presence into this world and help heal a hurting world. Go in peace. And serve God with joy. Amen. Now you're going to have to sing loud. Usually we sing this to each other across the room. Now you have to do it across town. But you can do it.
May the grace and peace of Christ be with you, my friends. Go and share the love of God, love that never ends.
Amen. Thank you for being with us.